कृष्ण नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणी प्रसारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चिताद सतारिणे ओम अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदहमायां ददाति स्वापदन्तिकाम् श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Today we're going to continue reading from where we left off last time. First, we want to chant the Shikshastakam. I'm going to send you the link. If you can all go to that link for Shikshastakam, we can read together. And we will also be reading from this page, as where we left off last time. Can you all hear?
Yes, my lord. We lost someone, I think. Janak Prabhu.
We lost Janak.
Yes, my. Maybe he is getting connected again.
Do you have any programs opened?
No, Maharaj. I stopped all programs.
There's an echo coming.
Echo coming, Maharaj?
You don't hear it?
No, Maharaj. I cannot hear.
Janak Prabhu, can you? Are you able to talk yet? No. I think echo, it might be coming from Janak's microphone.
Maybe Maharaj. Janak Prabhu, can you switch off the, you know, microphone boost? Janak Prabhu is telling he's rebooting his computer. Starting again.
Alright.
Purushottam Prabhu joined Maharaj.
Oh, Haribol, Dhanavad Purushottam. Jai Prabhu, you're back? You're back from Calcutta?
Yes, Maharaj.
Achai. What's the report? Anything happened?
There were about many scholars from all over the world. Professor Jonathan Sher also came there. And they were from the United States also. One scholar from, I think, University of Columbia. Then there were actually, today also some professors were there, but actually I was very tired, Maharaj, so I just returned today. And actually from our Bengal, from this ISI, some very, you know, good professors were also attending. And I was, you know, fortunate to have one, you know, one devotee from Ramanuja Sampradaya. Came from Mysore. He's quite old actually, around maybe 65 years old. And he spoke very nicely. And actually when he spoke, then when everyone was taking some prasadam, so one of the you know persons who was in the you know audience, he told me that this person spoke so nicely. Mostly people when they speak, they are not very clear about, you know, they say many things, but the subject matter doesn't become clear. So in this way, it was actually very good. And and I collected the emails also.
Oh, very nice. Yes. So those who had something nice to say, we can contact them then.
Yes, Maharaj. I think Jonathan Shear was telling that he is starting one, you know, internet group discussion, you know. And anybody who wants to, you know, if anybody wants to contact, then he can contact them. He told him and then actually, he was speaking about something about Mahesh Yogi, and he was talking about he was saying there are two things. One is the ontology. Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Yes.
One is the ontology and the other is
epistemology.
Phenomenology.
Phenomenology.
Something like, you know. So he's saying that I don't want. He was saying, I know ontology is very important, but I am now not focusing on that. I am most focusing on, you know, the methods and, you know, all these things. So he's in that sense, he wants to collect everybody, like different, you know, groups, and he wants to measure something through, you know, medical, you know, something like that he was talking. And so in this way, it was a good conference because many, you know, good people came actually.
Wait a minute, I'm just trying to get. Krishna is going to join the gizmo section.
Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Bol, Krishna Prabhu. Krishna Prabhu, are you there? Oh. Krishna Prabhu, are you there? Hare Bol? Oh. Anyhow, here are the links for the pages we are reading today. Little difficulty today. Some technical problems.
Yes, Maharaj. We are not hearing anything, Maharaj. Any echo or something like that.
No, now it stopped. I think it was coming from Chanak Prabhu's microphone.
No, Maharaj, it was coming from our Kapileswar, Dr. Kapileswar Mishra.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, then we start with Shikshastakam.
Yes, Maharaj.
Everyone have that page? Mahaprabhu.net,
yes,
Shikshastakam. Yes. So, Cheto Dharpanam Arjanam, Bhava Mahadvagni Nirvapanam, Shayak Kairavya Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavaru Jivanam Anandam Burivardanam Pratipadam Purnamitasvaranam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam Nam Makari Bahudani Jasarva Shaktis Tatrar Pitani Amitaksmarane Nakala Etadrishatavakipa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Midrisham Hijanina Nuraga Trinarapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnuna Omanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Okay, Kansachi Devi. Jamuna Prabhu, can Satya Devi hear on the conference? Jamuna Prabhu? Jamuna Jivan?
Oh, Jamuna Jivan Prabhu called up, Maharaj.
Huh? Got off.
Yes.
All right. Then you have to add, do you have Satya Devi?
No, Maharaj, I don't have the address. If you give, then I can add.
All right, 1 minute. It's such. Oh, this is another Satyadevi. I'm sorry, this is another Satyadasi. You can add that name.
Okay, Mother.
And add it to the. He just went offline.
Oh, okay, Maharaj.
Very difficult. All right. Nadanam najanam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmani swade bhavatad bhaktir hoitaki twahi ainanda tunuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budo kripaya tava par pankaja shtita duri sadrisham vichintaya nayanam galara sudharaya faranam gadgada rudai gira Pulakar nichitam vapu kada tava nama grahame grahane vabhavishuti. Yukai tam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaitam. Shunahitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Ashlishiva pararatam panashtumam. Adarshanam amarhatam karotuva. Yatatataya vidadatu lampato mat prananatas tuseva naparaha. Hold on a second. I'm trying to make an adjustment here for the Gizmo people.
Oh, they're joining Maharaj there?
Yes, Krishna is here.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, dear.
Some problem has happened, Maharaj?
They're not able to hear. It seems like it's coming out on the speaker.
So, Maharaj, if only our Krishna Prabhu is there, then I can add him to Skype.
All right, then add him.
Okay, Maharaj. Added him, Maharaj.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Hare Bol. Sorry, there was some problem with the Gizmo. It was coming out through the speaker instead of out through the headphones. All right.
I'm there on Gizmo.
No, you're on Skype now.
But yeah, but I'm also there on Gizmo.
Yes, but I just hung up on Gizmo, so you're hearing through Skype.
Yeah.
All right. So now we are reading Chaitanya Shikshastakam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Purushottam Prabhu, are you there?
Yes, Maharaj, I'm here.
Okay, if you like to read from there, next one.
Okay, verse 2. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Third.
Let's see if we can get others. Kapila? Kapileshwar? Would you like to read? Can you see that verse?
Kapileshwar, sir? Dr. Kapileshwar Mishra?
Not.
Hello?
Can I talk?
Yes, Maharaj, you can talk. He's okay. Saying hello.
Can you read the verse? Do you know what page we are reading from?
Dr. Kapileshwar Mishra, sir, can you read that verse, third verse? Yes. Third one. One should chant the holy name, that one. Kapileshwar, sir, can you see that third one? One should chant the holy name of the Lord.
Third one.
Third paragraph on the English.
No, the English one, yes.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
Thank you. All right, Krishna Prabhu, the fourth one?
O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth.
All right, thank you, Kapila Prabhu. Now, Krishna Prabhu, would you like to read the next one?
Yeah, Maharaj ji. The fifth one.
Fifth.
Yeah. O son of Maharaja Ananda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Maharaj, my voice is echoing.
There's some echo coming from somewhere.
I think, Maharaj, maybe Kapileshwar, sir, it is coming.
Okay. Anyhow.
Okay, read the sixth one.
No, okay, Jamuna Jivan, can you read the sixth one?
Maharaj, I won't be able to read because
you can't read it. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't read it.
Sushen Prabhu?
Yes, Maharaj.
Would you like to read the sixth one?
Okay, Maharaj. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name?
Okay, thank you. O Govinda, feeling your separations, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Jai Hare Bol. Okay, now we will, yes, Prabhu, now we will go to the next page that on the Bhagavad speech. Yes, this page. And we will continue where we left off from that page. From last time. Here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving a wonderful summary of the whole theology of Vaishnavism.
Yes,
and the last thing we read, the last paragraph, If you go down a few paragraphs, you'll see application and result of such methods. We'll start from there. We read that before, but we'll read that once more. The application and results of such methods. Can you see that?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj.
So these, No, that's not a good place to start, is it? So previously, we were discussing the methods that are favorable and unfavorable to cultivation of devotion. And only the method of complete surrender, self-surrender, is the method that that one can approach the absolute truth properly. Any other method beyond that are called opposed methods. The opposed methods are methods of exploitation or renunciation, or as Bhaktivinoda calls it, active and passive hostility. Active hostility means one is employing his own means to approach the absolute, as if the finite could approach the infinite, or the negation of the finite methods. And simply becoming neutral and thinking that one can escape the material entanglement by neutrality. That's called renunciation. These are actually the passive and hostile, passive and active hostility to the absolute truth, to the initiative of the absolute. So these opposed aptitudes lead them to the adoption of correspondingly different methods for the realization of the respective ends. Now I'm still hearing a little echo back in there.
Maharaj, I think it is coming from Krishna Prabhu or Kapileshwar Mishra Prabhu. One of
If you can mute your microphones, then maybe. Oh, there it's gone. Okay.
Yes,
so those methods that are adopted for the practice of active hostility to the absolute are termed Pratyaksha, which means direct individual perception, and Paroksha, which means the associated collective perception of many persons, past and present, respectively. Well, if this kind of cuts out a lot of activities that are going on from the material perspective, this is the whole scientific method. It depends on direct individual perception and the paroksha, the collective perception, the collective empirical investigations of previous scientists of the past and the present. So this empirical perception, relying on the evidence of your own experiences. Still some echo is there. Where's that coming from?
Maharaj, I think it must be picking from, I think, Sapran Krishna Prabhu or Kapileshwar.
Krishna Prabhu, can you mute your microphone? No? Is it muted?
No.
Hare Krishna?
No, Maharaji.
No? Hare Krishna. All right. Now it's gone. So the paroksha and the pratyaksha, both are active hostility to the absolute. The aparoksha method, the method of cessation from individual and collective perception, leads to the position of neutrality. Aparoksha. Aparoksha means the negation of paroksha, the negation of the collective empirical process, is called neutral attitude toward the absolute. So the pratyaksha and paroksha methods are diametrically opposed to the methods approved by the Bhagavatam for the search of the truth. The aparoksha method also tends to an unwholesome and negative result if it seeks to stand on the mere rejection of pratyaksha and paroksha methods without trying to progress towards the positive transcendence. Such inactive policy would indeed be tantamount to the practice of passive hostility to the Absolute, and as such is even more condemnable than open hostility. So the negation of empirical investigation, either individually or collectively, is also a means of hostility, is also an avenue of hostility toward the Absolute, as much as the utilization of mere perception, experience, or the evidence that is collected from others' experiences, all of that is to be considered hostility to the Absolute. Why? Why is our just ordinary seeing and hearing and so forth and so on? Why is that considered hostility to the Absolute? Because it is self-generated. It is generated from this finite plane. Activities that are generated from the finite plane, from the finite perspective, whether individually or collectively, they are still finite. And the attempt to gain knowledge through the finite, for the use of finite means, will not enable us to understand the infinite. Because no matter how many finite beings collectively try to understand the Absolute Truth, it will still be insufficient to understand the infinite. And you can add so many finite things together, but it will not be equal in power to the infinite itself. And the other thing is that because the initiative is coming from the finite plane, from the finite world, and the Absolute Subject, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his initiative is not considered. We don't wait to see what his Krishna wants. We have no conception of how to detect the initiative of the Lord when we are aggressively utilizing our own methods, energizing from our plane to try to reach that plane. We are interfering with the submissive reception of the initiative of the Absolute. So no method can be recognized as suitable for the quest of the truth that is actuated more or less by the purpose of opposing the Absolute Supremacy of Sri Krishna. In other words, individual souls cannot realize the subjective nature of the Absolute except by the exercise of their fullest subservience to Sri Krishna and his inner power. Hare Krishna. So we have lost a few people here.
Yeah. Maharaj, I have added again Jamuna Jeevan Prabhu.
Okay. Jamuna Jeevan. Ashtasakhi Devi.
Ashtasakhi Mataji actually from Russia, Maharaj. Our Bodhin Maharaj actually, she is actually disciple of our Bodhin Maharaj.
Alright. She has the page that we are reading from?
Yes, Maharaj, I have given Mataji the page.
So the cause of failure of individual souls to find the truth. Where is Kapileshwar? He got cut off.
Maharaj, actually some echo is coming whenever he's getting connected, Maharaj.
You can tell him to mute his microphone. He doesn't have to be cut off.
Yes. I think now it is okay, Maharaj. He connected now.
Yes. All right. So the cause of failure of the individual soul to find the truth. The failure of individual souls to find the truth is brought about by their own innate perversity. They possess perfect freedom of choice as between complete subservience to Sri Krishna and the practice of active or passive hostility to him. There is no other alternative open to them. If they choose to refuse to serve, they have to practice hostility or indifference towards the Absolute. The perverse individual soul is not obstructed in the active exercise of his freedom of choice. He is enabled to exercise the function of hostility and indifference within consistent deterring limits by the wonderful contrivance of the deluding power of Sri Krishna. The continued deliberate exercise of such hostility and indifference toward the Absolute by the perverse individual soul results necessarily in the suicidal abdication of all activities by the deliberate offender. Now, methods indicated by the Bhagavat. The methods that are adopted for practicing active and complete subservience to the Absolute are termed respectively as adhoksaja, external or reverential method of serving the transcendental object of worship, and aprakrita, internal or confidential method of service of the Absolute. Srimad Bhagavat indicates and divulges the search for the Absolute by the adhoksaja and aprakrita methods. It condemns the pratyaksha and paroksha methods, but recognizes the proper use of the aparoksha method. The pratyaksha, paroksha, and the passive aparoksha methods are collectively called the aroha, or ascending process. The proper aparoksha, adhoksaja, and aprakrita methods constitute the avaroha, or descending process. By the adoption of the ascending process, the perverse individual soul strives to realize his suicidal end by the positive and negative perverse manipulation of mundane experience gained through direct and indirect sense perception. On the other hand, by following the descending process, the soul is enabled to strive for the realization of the unalloyed service of the Absolute by the honest exercise of his unreserved receptive attitude to the initiative of the Absolute when he is pleased to come down to the plane of his tiny perverse cognition. So let us discuss this a little bit. There's so many terms here. What is the meaning? So in the practice of subservience, humility, subservience, submission, surrender to the Absolute, there are two means to be considered. One is called adhoksaja. Now, does anyone know the meaning of that word, adhoksaja? Where that word comes from?
Beyond the senses, Maharaj.
But the meaning of the word itself comes from there are three words there that we have to find, three roots of that word there. First one is A. A is the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet, A. And Hoksha is the last letter.
I.
Hoksha.
The I.
Hoksha. No, Hoksha is the H. H. The H with the dot under it, that is Hoksha. So the A and the Hoksha, this is saying that the letters of the Sanskrit alphabet, or in other words, any of the words in our dictionary. And then Aja is also there. A, Hok, and Aja. So that what is not born, Aja means not born.
Not born, yes.
What is not born from any of the words that are combined with all the letters of the Sanskrit alphabet? In other words, what can't be named in the ordinary mundane sense? Anything you can name in this world, what we are searching for is not born of those words, is what adhoksaja means. It is inconceivable, in other words. Then how you can approach that which is inconceivable by the conceivable. This is what this adhoksaja means. that don't try to approach by your senses, your evidence of your senses, or the evidence is coming from the senses of others. Don't try to approach what is adhoksaja, what is beyond that, what is not born from that. Don't try to approach that in that way. To try to understand that there is something higher than this world. And that is called the external or reverential method of approaching the absolute, the transcendental absolute. Then there is also the aprakrita. Now the aprakrita means material, prakriti, matter. So aprakriti means the negation of matter. But we don't want to simply have the negation of matter. Negation of matter is also can be passive hostility to the absolute, the negation of the material energy. So the aprakrita means the utilization, the proper utilization of whatever is there, in its spiritual significance. That is called devotional service. That utilizing that for the service of the absolute, whatever you have, whatever Krishna has given, to utilize, to understand that is to be utilized in the service of Krishna and to Krishnaize, we can say, Krishnaize it by recognizing, by understanding what its true purpose is, what its true significance is. And that's a prakriti method. What appears to be mundane, but it is not mundane. Just like the devotees, they are eating. Just like everyone else in this world is eating, they also require food for their sustenance. But devotees don't eat the normal food. Devotees are not vegetarian. They are Krishnatarian. Because devotees only eat what is offered to the Lord, and that food is no longer considered material, no longer considered prakriti, but it's a prakriti. That is spiritual, spiritualized. Devotees are also speaking just like everyone else in this world. But their talks are all in connection with the Supreme, the Transcendental Supreme Lord. So that talk is elevating us to that platform, not and keeping us within the material sphere of finite birth and death. So like that, adhoksaja and aprakrita, the two methods of subservience to the absolute. One considering the greatness of the Lord, the inconceivable, and what we must approach with submission and surrender, and the other of utilization, proper utilization of everything for the benefit of the Lord, for the satisfaction of the Lord. So these are called the pratyaksha, paroksha, and aparoksha are called the aroha. Aroha, the ascending, trying to go aggressively, penetrate into the transcendental realm. That will not be possible. That's ascending process. We can't approach the absolute in that way. Rather, we have to allow the initiative of the absolute to descend to us by his will, by his pleasure. At his pleasure, we are simply to serve at his pleasure. And if he deigns to invite us to that platform, then we can enter there. Then we can serve him. So we can't make any demands on the Supreme Absolute. We can plead. We can make our plea that you kindly bestow your mercy upon me. Kindly give your grace to me. I am such a poor fellow. And I am praying to you for your kindness, for your grace upon me, realizing that I am very fallen. I have no qualification to be in your company. And therefore, I am appealing to you out of your mercy. Don't try to judge me. because there you will find only are things to punish me for. As I have been a criminal, I am a criminal mentality, criminal person, only doing wrong things, neglecting you for so many lifetimes. But now I'm realizing that was all a mistake, and I'm praying to you, kindly take me to your into your service. I want to be your humble and submissive service and give up all this egoistic self-aggrandizing activity. And like that, we have to wait. We can't demand according to the sincerity of our heart. Krishna can see everything, and he will take us by his own judgment, his own will. He will know when we are ready for that. So what are the results obtained from the different methods of approaching the Absolute? The fruits that are realizable by the different methods of endeavor correspond to the particular method that is followed. The pratyaksha and paroksha.
It must be paroksha.
I think yes, paroksha methods aim at dharma, virtue, artha, utility, and kama, sensuous gratification. The wrong aparoksha method, remember, aparoksha means negation or neutrality to the material, but there are two, and this neutrality to the material can come from the devotee side, who because of his devotion to the transcendental Lord is also neutral to the material world, or to the neutrality of the impersonalist, who doesn't want to surrender to Krishna but simply wants to get out of this world. So this is wrong. This is called the wrong aparoksha method, who simply aims at pseudo moksha, annihilation. The right aparoksha method aims at positive transcendence, positive engagement in the service world, not merely a renunciation of the exploitive world, but positive entrance into the serving world. The adhoksaja method aims at bhakti or reverential transcendental service of the Absolute. The aprakriti method has in view the realization of prema or divine love. The beginning of pure theistic method. Pure theism begins with the first appearance of the positive desire for service of the Absolute, who is located beyond the range of our sensuous activity. It involves the clear perception of the fact that all empiric activity is a deliberate practice of perverse hostility against the Absolute Supremacy of Krishna. The word adhoksaja, which is applied in Srimad Bhagavatam to the object of worship, refers to the fact that Sri Krishna has reserved the right of not being exposed to the human senses. The theistic method alone thus apply to the proper entity of the Absolute. Those who are in rebellion against the supremacy of Sri Krishna by the adoption of sensuous activity are prevented from all access to his presence by the operation of deluding power of Krishna. The individual soul is always susceptible to being thus deluded by Maya, the limiting or measuring potency. The conditions of the practice of sensuous activities in this realm of finite existence are provided by Maya, the correction of the suicidal perversity of rebellious souls. Intermediary tracks of jnana and karma. It is in this manner that a person who is averse to the service of Sri Krishna is made to proceed along the tracks of karma and jnana by the ascending process for gaining the bitter experience of the practice of perverse hostility to Sri Krishna and his own self. This world is inhabited by persons who are deliberately addicted to this suicidal course. They are unconditionally committed to the ascending process for sojourning in this realm of nescience. The method is further characterized by the hypocritical assumption of the validity of experience derived through the senses for providing progressive guidance in the quest of a state of perfect felicity. The Avaroha, or descending method, the method of quest in which the truth himself takes the initiative, is termed the Avaroha, or descending process. The individual soul can have no access to the absolute by reason of his infinitesimally dissociable marginal position and his own nature as emanation of power. He can, however, have the view of the truth if the absolute is pleased to manifest his descent to the plane of his tiny cognition. You know that the I think Sripad Maharaj and others are using this term top-down and bottom-up approach.
Yes, Maharaj.
You find that that terminology in computer programming world. The bottom-up approach, where they try to start from some elemental principles and get some reason, and by that combination of elementary principles and certain patterns, they try to produce some. Try to reach some goal-oriented procedure. Aim at some goal that they have analyzed into its various elemental parts, and by combining those parts, try to produce the goal or the aim, whatever the program was supposed to do. That's called bottom-up approach. And they found that it's very difficult to do that using the computer. That generally they can't get to the aim without going through enormous complicated calculations, and even after they do millions and billions of calculations, still they can't reach what they are looking for. So they have to neglect that method and take what's called the top-down method. It means where they take the goal, the aim of the program, what it's supposed to do, and they go down a few steps, maybe 3, 4, 5 steps, however many they need. And that way they can try to trace back from the goal to some more elementary operations, and in that way get a program that will produce the desired result. So starting from the top, they go down and try to produce the top result to get. Of course, that method must work. It is already built in to the program like that. And that is the proper way. The only way they can actually get the result, practically speaking, computer programmers have realized this. So this is what we were talking about, top-down, the descending process. What comes down from the Supreme Lord in the Vedas, that is coming as shabda, that sound, transcendental sound, is coming down to us through the Guru Parampara. We can hear that and can understand thereby what is the absolute from the absolute perspective. Whereas all the millions of philosophers and scientists throughout the world and all throughout history, whatever they have tried to learn, they have never approached the absolute properly. Very rarely, if at all, they have approached the absolute through that method. Thus, the descent of the absolute comes to knowledge. Avaroha, or descending method. The method of quest in which the truth himself takes the initiative is termed the Avaroha, or descending process. The individual soul can have no access to the absolute by reason of his infinitesimally dissociable marginal position and his own nature as emanation of power. He can, however, have the view of the truth if the absolute is pleased to manifest his descent to the plane of his tiny cognition. So this is what we were explaining. Thus the descent of the absolute comes to knowledge. Real theism cannot begin until the individual soul is enabled by the manifestation of the descent of the absolute to have the opportunity for his service. The absolute manifests his descent in the form of the name or the transcendental divine sound on the lips of his pure devotees. Diksha, or the communication of the knowledge of the transcendental in the form of the sound to the submissive receptive cognition of the individual soul by authorized agents of the Absolute, is the Vedic mode of initiation into transcendental knowledge, Divya Gyan. he began Vide Prakashito, and that song, how the knowledge descends from guru to disciple, to guru to shisha. The name is the object of worship of all pure souls. The transcendental service of the name or bhakti is the proper function of all souls and the only mode of quest of the truth. Pursuit of this right method for perfection. The pursuit of this right method of quest leads to a growing perfection of bhakti and progressive realization of the subjective nature of the object of worship. We can understand what Bhaktivinoda Prabhu Thakur is saying here. The right method to understand, progressively understand the subjective nature of the object of worship. What is the difference between understanding a subjective nature and understanding an objective nature? To see the reality as objective, i.e. as impersonal. Objective means it's not a subjective, it's impersonal. It's not a person. Objective is an object. And subjective means a person, a subject. So to see the reality as object, then we become the knowing, the active knower, the active subject. And the reality that we are searching or researching becomes the object, passive object. And we have the whole control over what the object is. But when a reality that we are studying is subjective, then we have to take a different attitude, an attitude of submissive to hear, to respectfully dealing with a person, with God. We have to take a different attitude. We can't take the attitude that I am the Lord over the object, because now what is the reality, the objective reality, is now a subject, is now a person. So a different, totally different attitude has to be taken toward that. And that is the process, bhakti, by which we can progressively realize the subjective nature of the object of worship. So Srimad Bhagavatam uses the pregnant phrase, the really real thing, vastava vastu, to denote the entity whose service is realizable by and in the right method of quest. Srimad Bhagavatam accordingly distinguishes between apparent and real truth that is experienced respectively by the followers of the ascending and descending methods of quest. It admits the existence of apparent truth and the followers of apparent truth alongside the real truth and the servitors of the real truth. So it means in this material world, people are considering the reality to be the physical objects of the world to be a physical object. And the devotees are considering the reality not to be the physical object of the world, but to be Krishna, the subjective transcendental entity. And they are serving, therefore, in a different mood, and they are acting in a different mood than those who consider themselves the Lord over the objective world. Because assuming themselves to be subjects and the reality to be object, then necessarily the subject is superior to the object. They must have the attitude of lording it over. But as soon as the object is changed to the subjective transcendental truth of the Supreme Person, then we must take a more submissive and humble attitude, a worshipful attitude. So the gradual conception of the phases of transcendental personality. The true conception of the Absolute is realized by following the right method of quest. Ultimate reality is termed in the Sattvata Shastra as Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan. The Brahman conception stresses the necessity of excluding the deluded, concrete, limited experience of the followers of apparent truth. The conception of Paramatma seeks to establish a tangible connection between this temporal world and the ultimate reality. Both these conceptions present not only an imperfect, but also a grossly misleading view of the Absolute. the conception of Bhagavan as transcendental personality, who is approachable by Shuddha Bhakti or unalloyed devotion of the soul, corresponds to the complete realization of the Absolute, which necessarily also accommodates and supplements the rival conceptions of Brahman and Paramatma. The comparative view of the three conceptions is clearly stated in a passage of the Kartra of Damodar Swarup quoted in chapter 1130. It is also stated by Sri Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha.
This Brahman conception stresses the necessary excluding the deluded, concrete, limited experience of the followers of the apparent truth. And the conception of Paramatma seeks to establish a tangible connection between this this temporary world and the ultimate reality. So Maharaj, this Paramatma seems to be the connecting aspect, like a Guru, you know, Sri Guru.
Can be
yes,
Chaita Guru. We can think like that. We have to understand Brahman means the accommodating, the all-accommodating feature of the Absolute. So the all-accommodating aspect of the Absolute automatically eliminates whatever is not all-accommodating. So every other conception we have that doesn't that is somehow missing something, that is considered finite. And the Absolute Truth as Brahman eliminates that. It says, look for what is all accommodated. Where everything can be found, that is the Brahman. What doesn't eliminate anything, that is Brahman, which all is included, the all accommodating. Whatever concept you have that doesn't have that in it, then that is not to be considered the Absolute. This is the meaning of Brahman. And Paramatma is the all-pervading aspect of the Absolute. What is within everything? That essence, that true reality that is within everything, that is Paramatma. So while Brahman eliminates whatever is not all-accommodating, Paramatma includes even the limited things. And it says the Absolute Truth is in there, hidden behind it, within it. And you just have to look carefully to find that. So this is a more comprehensive conception than Brahman. Brahman eliminates the finite. But Paramatma enters the finite and says that behind that finite there is an infinite. So it's a combination of the infinite in the finite. Just like it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita that the sage, he can see the Paramatma, the super soul within the heart of all living entities, and therefore is neutral, is equal to everyone. Brahman, they try to escape from the finite world. But the Paramatma is a little bit more inclusive than that. It doesn't just merely negate what is limited. It tries to see that also there is infinity behind, directing that, has entered that. It is not apart from the finite, from the infinite. But the infinite is coming from the infinite. It is an energy of the infinite. And then Bhagavan realization is the all-attractive feature. It neither tries to look for a negation of the world, nor does it try to understand through knowledge the immanence of the Lord. But it has a different attitude altogether toward what is all-attractive, what is the drawing its attention beyond the renunciation and beyond the mere acquisition of knowledge of what is what. It is simply attracted by the sweetness and the beauty and the charm Bhagawan, the all-opulent one. The opulences of the Supreme Bhagawan means the one who possesses all opulences, strength, beauty, intelligence, renunciation, all those qualities are possessed by the Absolute. And by his own nature, he is attracting us to come to him and giving up all these other attitudes of renunciation or acquisition of knowledge. So therefore, the Lord has all these three aspects, Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan. But of all the three, the Bhagavan conception is the most satisfying and includes all the others automatically. Surpasses, but includes them as well. Because Bhagavan is all-pervading, and he is also all-accommodating. Accommodates everyone. The sweetness, beauty, love will accommodate everyone. All right. So I think we can stop here. Any questions?
Would it be correct to say then, yes, Maharaj, would it be correct then to say that in order to acquire Bhagavan realization, that the only ingredient required is complete surrender?
Now, complete surrender, as we explained, is the Arhoksuja method. Arhoksuja method. That we see that the Lord is superior to me, and I must submit to that. Arhoksuja. Then there's the Aprakrita method, in which I utilize everything in the service of Krishna. I have no other interest for things other than how they can be utilized in service. I'm sorry?
Say we have material desires and other
interests
in the world. So does that mean that we will not have Bhagavan realization because we have all these desires and
Yes, we have to give that up, no doubt. We have to give that up. And that is the process of purification. That is called anartha nivritti. Adoshada sadhusang the bhajana kriya anartha nivritti. We have faith. We have to put our faith in the devotees, first of all, that I'm in a suffering condition of this world. Here are the devotees. They are happy. They are getting out of the suffering condition. I want to kafala with them. I want to join with them. That's called sadhu sang. And in that sadhu sang, bhajana kriya. Not that we just are passive. Now I'm safe, I'm sitting in the association. Proper association means bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means activities of worship, worshipful activities. I have so much respect for those devotees that I am associating with, and I want to serve them, I want to please them, I want to do so much to gain their affection. Whatever I can do so they can take me into their embrace and keep me close so that I will never feel attraction for these mundane things. And in that process of utilizing whatever I am, utilizing that in the service of the devotees, then anartha nivritti, all these mundane attachments will go away. If I associate with those who are giving up all those attachments, then in order to keep that association, I will also have to give up those attachments, because they won't talk about anything like that. How to make money, how to get rich quick, all these things going on in the material, how to buy the latest gadget. They're not talking about that. They're talking about Krishna, how to become Krishna conscious. So we want that kind of association, and in that process we will get free from all these mundane attachments of accumulating wealth and sex life and cheating and gambling, all those nasty activities. We can get free of that by associating closely with the devotees and trying to please them in a worshipful, respectful way and serving them. And that is the process of bhakti, of purification. never become discouraged in that process. If we become discouraged, then everything is lost. Then our progress stops.
Maharaj? In this section, method of bhakti harmonizes transcendence and immanence.
That's the next section. We haven't read that. Okay, go ahead. You can ask the question. What is that?
So it seems to me this immanence, this is basically relating to the time, space, and mind. I think. Is it so, Maharaj?
As we explained previously, I said that Paramatman realization is the immanent aspect. Brahman is the transcendent aspect, and Paramatman is the immanent aspect of the Supreme Lord.
Brahman is what is not
the negation of all the non-accommodating things, the partial things. But Paramatman is the immanence, is the pervasive aspect of the Lord. The Lord, how he pervades everything, is within everything. That's Paramatma.
Yes.
And Bhagavan, that is the absolute truth, who is both the harmony of the transcendence and the immanence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who harmonizes the accommodating and the pervading aspect. Understand?
Yes, Maharaj.
And that's bhakti. Bhakti will approach the supreme absolute truth, the all beautiful, all sweet, all loving Supreme Lord, who can, in that way, as sweetness, beauty, and love, he can accommodate everyone because everyone is looking for that.
Yes.
That is the essence of everyone's desire, is to come in touch with that.
Yes, Maharaj. Mm-hmm.
So that is the all accommodating, and that is all pervading. Once that love enters our hearts, we become transformed. Our whole being becomes transformed into that state of love, prema. With the Supreme Lord. Every particle of our being will be attracted to Krishna. And there will be nothing left for attraction to anything but Krishna. In that sense, it becomes all pervading, permeating in the whole of our being.
Yes, Lord.
Love. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Maharaj, actually, two new devotees joined today, Maharaj. Pastor Sakhi Mataji and our Bharat, this Vijay Krishna Prabhu. Bharatidas.
Bharatidas.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Prabhuji, Sushin Prabhuji. Sushin Prabhuji, Ramapriya Dasa Prabhuji is asking to call you.
What is his
can
ID?
Invite him. Ramapriya Dasa.
Can you type me? Type here.
Yeah. Rama.priyadasa.
So, Bharatadas.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Vijay Krishna, Jai Dandavats Prabhu.
Dandavats Maharaj.
Jai Dandavats Prabhu. Yeah. I'm happy that you could join us today. Yeah,
thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, you are from U.S.?
Yes, Maharaj. I'm an Indian now working in U.S., Maharaj.
Acha, very nice. How did you hear about us?
Sushin Das Prabhuji contacted me and, yeah.
All right. Yes, he is a great canvasser. Like Lord Nityananda, he is going everywhere. canvassing anywhere. Everyone. Inconceivable.
Ramapriya Dasa. Krishna.
Ramapriya. That is Govinda Maharaj's
Ramapriya. Ramapriya dot. Ramapriya dot Das. Rama dot Priya dot Das or Gap Das. Okay. United Kingdom. Okay. I can. Yeah, he's there. He's there in my height.
Rama.priya.dasa. Oh, yes, Maharaj. I think.
Rama.priya.
Rama.priya, yes. Yes,
but I cannot see him online, so that's why I could.
No, he is offline, but maybe he's invisible or something like that. He is in the unmanifest form, but he is there.
I think Ostasaki Mataji cannot speak, I think. She can only hear. She's from Russia.
Oh, yes. Mataji. Russia. Very nice. Hare Krishna. Ashtashaki Didi. Rama Priya. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj,
Hare Krishna.
Ram Priya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Oh, Haribol, Ram Priya Prabhu. Dhanavad.
Hare Krishna. Dhanavad. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Haribol. So, we are. Unfortunately, we are ending, just ending, but we were having a nice discussion that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written. You may have read the Bhagavad speech. He covers the whole theology of Vaishnavism in very nice and summarized form in the Bhagavad speech. And we have been reading from that. You can send him the link if you like to read that page. You can also try to get some benefit from that. I'll send you the link. Is he connected to that chat page? Yes. Okay. So, yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a master. He's a real master at presenting these things in such a scientific and systematic way. We can benefit tremendously from reading his works.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All right.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Yes,
Maharaj. So, yes, we will meet again next Sunday. Thank you for all coming today.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.